Tyler went back and walked down.
Call the meeting to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaither.
Here.
Crunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Sansom.
Here.
Town.
Here.
Quorum present.
Okay, before we enter into our regular meeting tonight, there's going to be two additional items there. And the first one will be a moment of silence and prayer for Jeannie Tallboys. And we're going to have a check presentation from the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians. So at this time, I ask that we take a moment of silent prayer for Jeannie Tallboys. Her husband, John, served the city 45 to 50 years in some capacity or another, and it's a great loss for the family and for the in the city. So at this time, we'll take a moment of silent prayer for her. Time, we're going to have a check presentation. We have an honored guest with us this evening, George Antoine from the Grand Traverse Band of the Ottawa and Chippewa Indians. Their organization has granted a grant to the Wayne City Free Clinic for $50,000. And at this time, we're going to do a check presentation and express our gratitude and thanks. So, if you gentlemen from the Free Clinic, GT and Mike, could come forward, and George, and we'll...
That's really outstanding. I move out of the way. Good.
Presenting that to these gentlemen.
I guess what I'd like to say to the staff is in our language, we say, thank you. It's Miigwech. But a big thank you, or thank you very much, is Kachi Miigwech. When I got a chance to come here last fall to do a walk through the open house, and I was really impressed with what they were doing with what little they had. And so each year, two times a year, the band is able to give out grants or awards from the 2% of the gains. And so I'd like to also invite any organization here through the city of Boeing to apply for the 2% grant. You know, can't get it if you don't apply. But Bob and I, Bob Kibagoshka, vice chairman, he came to me and said, well, what are you going to do? And we only have a certain amount that we each can give out. I said, well, I think the free clinic is a good idea. He's a 50-50
deal.
So we both, you know, every tribal council member has an opportunity to give some, but we kind of boot him out. We wanted to give you guys this. So from the Grand Shepherd's Band, through the city of Boyne City, to the Boyne Area Free Clinic, I'd like to present you with a check for $50,000.
Wow.
Wow, that's great.
We might also add to this that I believe over close to a six-year period now, this represents about $193,000 that the tribe has granted to the free clinic. And 3 years ago, I believe it's they funded the full amount, the $60,000 for the X-ray machine. Am I correct about that?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's been total blessings, and we are most grateful, truly.
Thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you very much.
So, paid the order of Boyne Area Free Clinic, $50,000. So, let's
I'd like to say that if I could, that we have all of our money. That obviously every penny we have, every penny we get, is earmarked for something. And this grant is going to be earmarked for much needed equipment in the clinic itself for medical diagnosis and treatment, as well as in this minor treatment, as well as testing, which is incredibly expensive, and just minor injectables. The balance is to expand our content in the building, since we now own the building. And we are talking to a couple of other doctors right now, other different types of doctors. One is a dentist, one is an eye doctor. And we are planning on bringing those two into the building within the next year. This will help. Obviously, equipment is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And without it, we have enough. You can't just sit somebody down in a chair. You need the diagnostic equipment to go with. So that's what we're going to do. So this money is definitely going to be well spent. Now, we have a lot of fun at our board meetings. You're entirely welcome to show up at any of them. We leave our ego at the door. Those that don't, pay for it. And the only thing that we're doing, we're not trying to build a large clinic. We want to serve the people. That's it. Mm-hmm. No monuments, no additions to our resume or anything else. We come and go quietly, and so does the staff. And the staff gives very unselfishly. We don't require people to present their income level or anything else. They can drive whatever they want showing up at the clinic. The big thing is they don't have health care insurance, so we provide for their health care, and that's a very important thing in this day and age. Always in the 40s. So we invite anybody who needs health care and can't afford it to come visit us. We take care of them, we take care of the happy and the crabby.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There he is.
The first item of business is the consent agenda, and the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. And we have three items here tonight. One is the corrected minutes from the regular commission meeting of January 28th. And then we have the approval of February 11th minutes and the joint board and commission meeting minutes.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needham.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Our next item of business, if we have any citizens here in the audience that wishes to comment on an item that is a non-agenda item, this is the normal time which we can bring things to the commission that are not on the agenda. Okay. It doesn't appear that we have anyone tonight, so we'll move on to correspondence. I did receive correspondence from Mr. Beeman at 445 Pearl Street, which I've passed on to the city manager. And I have a note here from Leadership Charlevoix, which I'll pass on to the commissions. It was addressed to Mike Kane, our city manager, and he passed it on to me. And it was thanking us for being part of the economic development session. We'll pass that around. Does anyone else have any additional correspondence?
What about the communication the city got from the comments on the Avalanche Park? The positive comments? Do they have the ability to share that?
The email?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those were nice.
I don't have a written one.
Yeah, I didn't bring a paper copy of that.
Okay.
It should in my email when I forwarded those to the city commission, we'd say it. But we did get two very positive comments from visitors to our community, two separate comments.
Right.
They came in very quickly with each other with regards to how much they enjoyed and appreciated using Avalanche Park as part of their visits to the area. Got the impression that they were going to be return visitors as well, too. So I've shared that with a number of the staff members that are involved with that, and also some of the folks that work out at the warming houses. It's been a really great ambassadorship out there.
It goes to show the importance of what that means to Boyne City and the hard work that our staff puts in it, so I think as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item of business is city manager's report.
Just a couple items for you today. A small milestone. On Saturday, February 15th, we had our first overnight airport hangar rental of one of the hangars that the city holds. We obviously have monthly and annual renters, but this is the first time that somebody came in for a weekend looking for a hangar, and we had one available, and we were able to house them. We have another request for this weekend, so hopefully it's something the word will get out there, and we'll attract more visitors to Boyne City that way as well, too. Last Friday, the state received bids for the Division and Pleasant Street's repaving project that's proposed for this summer. The four bids range from a low of $302,996.17 to a high of $335,426.54. The engineer's estimate was at $314,033.25, and all came in with just a little bit over, within about 7% of the engineer's estimate. The low bidder was Reith Riley Construction, and again, those bids were just received last Friday. They have to work their way through the state process, but we'll be coming forward with recommendations to the City Commission on awarding the project and entering into the contracts with the state at an upcoming meeting in March. The first of our public meetings on the food truck was held this evening at 6 p.m. There will be a second one to be held on Thursday, March 6th. That will be at 5:30 in the lower level library, and everybody's encouraged to attend. There are some flyers with regards to that out at the front entrance. We did have scheduled our new police officer, Kyle Smith, who started work with us last Tuesday and with the swearing-in ceremony here in this room, to attend our meeting when it was scheduled for noon. Obviously, with us having to reschedule the meeting, he was unable to make it here, but we'll have him come to one of our future meetings as well. That's all I have at this point. If you have any questions or like any information on this or other items, please let me know.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any questions from the commission?
No.
Okay, our next item of business is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees, and we have our January 2014 financial statement in front of us, and do we have any questions from the commission in regards to it?
Just one quick question.
Sure.
The reimbursement from Consumers Energy, where does that fall in here? Where do we find that?
That went under miscellaneous revenues in the general,
okay.
In the general
All right.
fund.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Our next item is new business. First item on the agenda tonight is the City Facilities Architectural Service Report. At this time, I will turn this over to Mike King.
Okay. On December 16th of last year, the city issued a request for proposals for architectural services for the city facilities with the January 17th due date. We forwarded the request for proposals to firms that we knew were interested in the project and advertised it on the state's Mind Deal website. On the due date, we publicly opened the proposals that we received, except for the cost component portions, which remain sealed separately. Prior to the February 11th City Commission meeting, our department heads met and reviewed all the proposals. We each individually ranked them, and then we combined that to develop a group ranking. Items discussed as factors for the decisions from the various department heads included what was proposed as public participation, hours dedicated to the project, the proposed project timelines, and previous similar projects. Subsequent to that, we publicly opened the cost portions of those bids. And the bids ranged from a low of $21,750 to a high of $91,645. And that was described below in the chart that I provided the commission as part of this memo. Yeah, you can go with that if you'd like. In that chart, it lists the name of the firm, the hours they were proposing with the project, when they looked to have the project completed, where they were from, and then their cost as well, too. Based on the evaluations and rankings by the department heads, including my own, and the cost, I selected four firms to bring in for interviews. The four firms interviewed are noted on the chart and included Environmental Architects, Elaine Kaiser Architects, NDG, and THA. The interviews took place at City Hall a week ago today, Tuesday, February 18th, between 10 a.m. and then extended to slightly after 6 p.m. The interviews were open to the public and were attended by the full City Commission. All the background materials, which includes the proposals that we received, the cost elements, and the request for proposal document itself, are available online for anybody to review. We had a follow-up meeting last Friday, the 21st, of all the department heads to consider the interviews and what next steps should be recommended. Based on the interviews conducted, it was a feeling the department heads that the city could not go too far wrong in hiring any of one of the four firms that we brought for interviews. It was a feeling that conducting second interviews of any of the firms or interviewing any of the three firms that were not interviewed was not necessary. It was unanimous consensus of all the department heads present. Dan Meads was out on medical leave during this period. That Environmental Architects should be retained to perform the city's facilities analysis as requested. The reason for that recommendation included the quality of services previously provided to the city, their public participation plan, the team they assembled for the project, previous experience with similar projects, potential whole site benefits from undertaking the adjoining pavilion project as well, and their price. Their references have been very positive, and we have firsthand experience working with them as well. The recommendation, therefore, to the City Commission is that it award the contract for the City's Facilities Architectural Services to Environmental Architects of Traverse City in the amount of $25,860. Other options that the commission may wish to consider would be to conduct a second interview with one or more of the firms, invite one or more of the firms that were not originally interviewed, hire another firm, reject all the bids and rebid the project, or some other option as determined by the city commission. I'd be glad to answer any questions the commission may have at this point.
Okay. Our normal protocol is to ask if there's any input or comments from our department heads or staff. Okay. It appears we don't have any comments from staff or department heads. Citizens' comments.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
Which buildings, which facilities are you talking about? Just City Hall, or is there something else?
No, the facilities that are being looked to be dealt with are the whole City Hall complex, which is this building, which houses the City Hall and the Police Department and the General Office Operations, the Fire Hall, DPW facility, and Maintenance Garage, which are located immediately behind us, and also, and that includes also police storage currently, this time for both vehicles and evidence, and also incorporating the remotely located and leased facility of the ambulance garage, which is located over on Fall Park Road.
What are you planning on, are you talking about remodeling?
That is part of the analysis that the architect is supposed to complete for us and then make recommendations. They're supposed to come up with various scenarios for the city commission to review. So it could be a remodel, it could be a demolition, it could be a combination. Basically, it's up to them to gather all the appropriate data, analyze it, and come back to us, both as a commission, as staff, and a community with some recommendations and options.
Elaine?
I just wanted to note that I reviewed their financial cost proposal and it doesn't add up. There's $2,065 internally that's missing that wasn't allocated into their final total. And their line item for project cost and scheduling under phase 300 has no hours or cost attributed to it.
I didn't quite capture the the specific meaning of that, other than the dollar amount. You said $2,300.
Well, I was trying to look through their hours and how they managed to pack all this into that many hours, and I noticed that their cost line item for $2,065 didn't get carried over to be added into their total at the bottom. I just thought I'd point that out.
Okay, thank you.
That it's for their services, for their consultants.
Do we have any additional questions? Okay, well, move to the board for discussion, and Laura, would you like to start?
I think after attending the interviews and giving it a lot of thought back and forth in my head, I think any of the four firms that we interviewed probably would do a fine job. When it comes right down to the final analysis for me and how I felt about it was, I think the environmental architects group, the way they do their presentations, the way they interact with the public, the enthusiasm that they seem to spread out there and generate within the public. Noticeably, when they did the pavilion study, it was a quick study, it was fast, it almost scared me at the speed that they went through that whole process. And yet they paid a lot of attention to detail and what the public were input and what they were saying that they wanted. And when you saw the product, it was like, wow, how did they do all that in that short period of time, which was quite impressive to me. I think part of this whole project, it's a massive project and undertaking in this community, and I think it has to be done right. I think it also needs somebody that can quickly visualize the process and put those pieces together, and I think that this group seems to do that. My concern with them initially, and I asked this question, was that the final design would be too much like the pavilion that they've designed in Veterans Park. I would like to make sure that it's a distinctive type building, but I think if they tended to make this a larger, grand building similar, based too similar to that, I don't think the public would accept that. I think it would be rejected anyway. So I don't see that that's an issue. I've looked through their other designs and other accomplishments, and I feel like they have a variety that they've done, and using a variety of materials. They're also environmentally conscious. Obviously, that's reflected in their name. Other companies are also dealing with green energy and efficiencies and utilities. So when it comes right down to me, I think the amount of enthusiasm they generate in pulling the public together and making the public not just feel like a part of the process, but be a part of the process, I think is really important in selling this to the community. So I would be in favor.
Thank you. Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, let's see here. Do we have a representative from Environmental Architects here this evening in the audience? Unfortunately, no. I guess I'll have to go to commentary instead of just questions and answers, unfortunately. Looking through the proposal, and Commissioner Sandsman referenced it, the pavilion project, my concern is that the ability to separate the focus from this pavilion project to the city facilities project will be difficult. Are they willing to, you know, back burner that and focus on this project, which is on our city goals, to move that forward? They also had referenced the information gathered from the pavilion project, referenced this, and the question is, was that information shared with other vendors when they commented on that? I don't have that answer. Yeah, the pavilion itself is not one of our top 20 goals. The city facilities is. And they continually, through their bid response, talk about the Veterans Park Pavilion, and it's almost as if they're tying the two together. So my concern is, again, that they're looking at this as one big campus project, based on their own words. And the city facility, or the pavilion, is totally unrelated to the actual city facilities project. Now, as indicated in the RFP, there will be consideration taken into the, you know, view shed and the layout and how it fits as far as the whole master plan, the waterfront master plan. But to have the fact that they're already involved with that other project gives me some pause. Commissioner Sansom has said that the project has to be done right, and I couldn't agree more. Being done quickly, when it comes to the project of this size that's going to serve the citizens for decades into the future, I don't think it's something we need to take lightly as far as being done quickly. They're proposing 30 to 45 days versus some of the others that are out 3 to 4 months. So the question is, where is the give and take? What is their advantage over somebody that's going to take a longer time? you know, as I went through the interview process, I received the preliminary information on the RFP responses. And initially, I had gone into the interviews looking at One Direction. By the end of that interview process, one firm, in my opinion, shot to the top. And I'm going to digress a second. When I had, before this, the RFPs came back, I'd made the comment that we may not go with the lowest bid. And city manager concurred. My opinion and my viewpoint is I want the best representative for this project. Okay? And yes, cost is a factor. We always want to make sure we're getting the value for our taxpayers' dollar. So, jumping back forward, to me, the firm that absolutely jumped to the top was Elaine Kaiser Architects. Elaine is here this evening. She didn't come with a PowerPoint, didn't come with a fancy book. She shared information from her own knowledge directly. And I felt answered every question concisely, completely. She spoke of energy-saving features that went beyond like the solar panels that environmental architects did on the Grand Traverse parking garage, which ultimately they admitted to the city manager that they don't even pay for themselves. It doesn't cover the cost of operations. It's a 20-year return investment, but they went ahead with the project in that manner. And I understand they were probably told that's what we want to have done. Elaine had mentioned in greater detail than any of the other firms on some other technologies, the air pumps, heat air pumps, the actual location, the shape of the building, the design. Some of the other firms did mention building the shape and design, but her ability to break down in the initial early cost phase of when after the preliminary study is done, reviewing with the city employees, she had an actual, showed us a cost breakdown of what each room or location would cost. None of the other firms did that or talked about that. And so we have to look at, we're back to the cost thing. So is this a matter of, you know, as the old saying, being penny wise and pound foolish, saving a couple dollars up front, but finding out on the back end that that difference is going to be equal or greater than we would have invested to begin with. When we look at the hours on the project, as reported, Environmental Architects list the total project time of 278 hours. Of that, the principal architect has allocated 160 hours to the project. When you take their total bid price divided by the total hours, that total cost for their entire service comes out to $93 an hour. Mm-hmm. Elaine Kaiser Architects indicated 839 hours on the total project. And Elaine's total time as the principal at 281 hours. So we have 121 hours difference. Now, when you look at her bid divided by the total hours, we come out to $104 an hour. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a net of $11 an hour difference at the end of the day. And that's what has to be looked at. So the questions, one of the questions that arose is, when somebody can come in that far under hours, you have to look at either they are that much more competent and capable of completing the entire task to the best of the ability for the citizens of Boyne City, or they are not giving a complete and full detailed analysis for us to make our decisions moving forward. So, and that's the question I guess we'll all have to debate at this point. I had contacted a few of the references. I received calls back from two of them, and one of them was the Pelston Village president, And I asked him to give me some feedback on that. Jim Gillette is his name, village president. And the project was the village hall and library project. He said, no issues, highly recommended. He said, Elaine listens to her customers. And she has vision. That one struck me right there. He indicated that she transformed an existing building in a way that he couldn't even have imagined. That was his words, okay? And therefore meaning it didn't require a complete bulldozer to start anew, which that's, I'm sure, you know, that may have to happen here on this project at some of the locations, but the fact that he mentioned that to me was very impressive. He also indicated she came in under budget. She exhibited many ways of saving money for the village. They reused the existing doors on the project and perhaps refinished them. He didn't go into that detail. So I think I'm going to follow up on what Elaine said in the interview. She is going to look at the ways of, you know, what we can reutilize here and through the assistance of her structural engineer and the mechanical engineer, formulate a plan. Now, one of the other individuals I followed up on was Elaine didn't have her engineer with her, Justin Kowach from JLK Engineering. So I went to their website, and I wanted to look and see what kind of projects that Justin had been involved in. And an incredible range of projects, large, small, commercial, municipal, private, religious, on down the line. One of the projects, when I looked at the picture, I couldn't believe it. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that Elaine didn't bring it up. It was the One Water Street project. So I called Mr. Now, at that time, I found out later that he had worked for another firm, but he was the lead mechanical engineer. And I called and talked to Glenn Catt. I wanted to know about that project, because that's a Boyne City project that gets rave reviews. It's a part of our city that has beautified it and added tremendous value to our downtown waterscape. And he said, I appreciate his honesty, he said they had a minor issue in one of the office buildings. And he went back to the plans and researched the plans. And he said, when I got done reviewing the plans, he said, I determined that it wasn't an issue or a bad design from the mechanical engineer. It was something else. So other than that little minor issue they're dealing with, he didn't go into detail what it is. It wasn't related to the exact topic I had. He was, pardon me, pleased with the overall work. So again, there's somebody that Elaine has brought onto her team that has already has their fingerprint on Boyne City. I'm going to go back a little bit to the pavilion project because I think that's a huge point here. And, you know, the pavilion project was brought forward in kind of a rapid fashion, presented to the city commission. In fact, Mike, I'm going to ask you, who was the individual or individuals that selected environmental architects to present to the city commission for that project? Can you refresh my memory?
Who were the people that recommended that?
Yes. Yeah, or first selected them and recommended them. Because we didn't go through the same process for the pavilion project that we did for the city.
We went through a similar process, but it was the Main Street organization obtained the grant, so you pulled together the panel that was that interviewed them. I was on that panel. Hugh, you remember?
Dean Solomon, Jerry Swift from the Parks and Rec Commission, Andy Kowalski. Ricky Harris.
Okay. And in that situation, the commission was involved in as part of the selection process, and I felt it was important that we were involved in this process and we had a say in the project early on before it was brought to us. And I'm thankful that I was part of that process. That was very enlightening. I take my responsibility very serious when it comes to a project of this nature and what it represents for the city. And so I have to look at, that was the firm that was selected and brought in for the pavilion. And that process was kind of fast-tracked through. And now they're the consensus on the city facilities project. Has Mike, is there any discussion with their ability to, with environmental architects and their concern about the two projects and being able to focus strictly on the city facilities project as we move forward?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. But obviously when they bid their proposal, they knew that they had, or they were lining up for the pavilion project as well,
right.
too.
Right. So, as I, again, I'm gonna wrap up as I went through and I looked at the detailed information. Elaine had kind of talked about also the Kilwins project she was involved in. And while not a municipal project, it was a huge undertaking in the scope of renovating basically which was a grocery store building into their operations. And detailed how, through her process, that she would, or she ultimately saved money and looked out for the customer at that point and ended up with a project that, for those of you who have been inside, can probably give more detail. I've only seen it from the outside. I believe the mayor has been inside and was extremely impressed with it. And that was a project that Elaine was involved in from the beginning until the end. You know, when we look at the, again, I'm going to break it down as well. When you look at the total hours and the total amount, we're really only dealing with $11 an hour difference. And I believe Elaine had mentioned at the interview process how critical those early stages were in developing the designs, up to four separate designs, which could include moving the DPW to North Boyne, could move the, or could leave it on the property here. She's been involved with the township fire hall, so she's had experience with fire departments. And I can assure you that I made the comment before, our city fire trucks don't need to be tucked away, hidden out of sight in the existing building. They need to be in a proper location where the citizens can see them and have a safe response out of the building. And I'm confident that Elaine could deliver that project. So, Elaine, did you have any follow-up comments based on what I presented? Any corrections or additions?
I don't have anything additional to say. I'm thankful for the interview process, and I did go back and do a little bit more research on cost estimating, and
sure.
It's been a couple of years since we did the Kilwins project, but I took a look at the bids that came in versus what my cost projection was a year earlier, and I'm still floored by the fact that we're able to do that right up front. And even though that's private information, I did bring some of that with me if anyone wanted to look at it. But I don't think you mentioned anything that was wrong, and I just was excited about being there, and I didn't mention the one water street that Justin did. So.
I found that in my research.
And he had told me about it. But what they do up front is very important. And if I've got 40 hours in there for my structural engineer and my mechanical engineer to come through the building, they need that time to be able to make those assessments and look at all that equipment and then write the proper reports on that during those different stages of the design. And I just don't feel that it can be done in anything less.
They also reference soil borings, or your RFP did reference those.
So we would investigate what.
Yeah, And the other firm, I did not see anywhere where they would reference the soil moisture. At least it wasn't.
It's very, very important. If this building has to be on pilings.
Sure.
I mean, that's a huge, huge cost item.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, that Lane Cars Architects is my recommendation for the city of Moyne City to move forward with this project. I'm very confident and comfortable telling the citizens that this is the final project. Also, I just digress. I did forget one thing in the initial rankings that the city manager provided. I did find it interesting. Fire chief had picked EA first and Elaine Kaiser second, and John Lamont had picked Elaine Kaiser as first. And so I think we're right in the ballpark there in that operation. So it comes down to details and the scope of the project and making sure that our citizens and our city facility staff end up with truly is the best product. And I don't think getting it done quickly, you know, is necessarily the best. And therefore, I'm recommending Lane Kaiser Associates. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. Jane?
Well, first, I agree somewhat with both my fellow commissioners. After the interview, in my view, there were probably three firms I thought would do a good job with the city facilities. And then I looked at department heads and staff and how they rated the different firms, just because they know what their needs are more than I do. Their ratings actually was very close to what my way of thinking was. Well, at first I thought, wow, there's a lot of difference in the cost, mm-hmm. and I kind of narrowed it down to two firms. That would be Elaine and Environmental Architect. Mm-hmm. But then I got looking at the hours, but I figured the hours kind of closes the gap up between the two. I would have been okay with the recommendation for either one of them. I would be okay with the recommendation with Environmental Architects.
Okay, Tom?
Well, I agree with a lot of things that have been said. I did appreciate being involved in the process. I agree with your math, Derek, that I did the same math and came to the same conclusion, that it was basically $11 the difference per hour per firm. I agree with everything you've said about Elaine Kaiser's architecture firm, but to be fair, I think there's two other firms, including the recommended one, mm-hmm. that I could go on for 10 minutes about their accolades too, mm-hmm. that they are equally as qualified and equally as passionate and probably equally as creative and so some things that are going for Environmental Architect is their familiarity with the way the city management works, with the way the city property here is going to dovetail together. I do agree with you that there should be separation between the pavilion and the facilities. However, thinking outside of the box, what if they could be combined? What if there is a combination that could happen? What if there is a millage or a payment plan or a grant process that would pay for it? As a combined process. So I'm not saying that's the way we should go. I'm just saying that needs to be, that's out there. I was impressed with Environmental Architect with how they brought in C2A. Because again, I think Larry Fox has worked with us and he brings that experience and that professionalism and that known quantity that we know what we're getting, and it made sense. It was a good dovetail of two different firms that can facilitate the process. I also appreciated the way Environmental Architect talked about the process of the budget and the financing, and really maybe a little bit different approach to the process. Let's do have a budget. Mm-hmm. Let's not design A, B, C, and D before we look at what can the city afford and how much do you want to spend. And they kind of dovetail together, but his approach was uniquely different from here with the firm. And that approach made sense to me. The fact that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 department heads picked environmental architect as number one, and all and the other three were then a 2 and 2 3s. So environmental architect, looking at our staff, you know, had very high appraisal. And that's not saying anything against Elaine or the other two friends for the interview. With all that being said, the fact I agreed with Derek, the money's not an issue because they came out pretty darn close. The fact that we're involving Larry Fox with the process, the fact that five department heads had environmental architect as number one, I am very comfortable with the recommendation from staff and will support environmental architect, noting that number two and number three were darn close and very darn impressive, and all of them have resumes and staff and experience and processes that were very successful. So I don't think we can go wrong in saying so. I support the recommendation.
Okay. Well, I'll speak to this. I'll just give you a thought what my vision is as far as how this could work and how it could work and how it could be approved by our taxpayers. And I believe in order to sell this project, however you want to say it, and get it approved and actually see it to fruition, it's going to have support from our citizens. And one of the ways that I think that it could be palatable would be with either a 30-year or a 40-year municipal bond, which ties both projects together, you know, as far as the funding for it. And the reason I say a 30-year bond or a 40-year bond is that you take, for example, the deflationary dollars that are being spent by our government at this moment, or created by the government. Most of them are electronic dollars. But their way out of this mess is inflation, and it's going to happen down the road. And just to give you an example, over the last 15 years, and this is a common thread that goes through almost all parts of the economy. In my own case, I look at a truck I bought 15 years ago and wore it out for $20,000, and the exact same truck today is $40,000 over just a 15-year period. So when we get 20 or 30 years down the line as far as paying this bond back, you're going to be paying it with depreciated dollars that may wind up be a situation that it could be paid off early. So whoever we approve, I think it really requires discernment. And when I left the meeting that we had with the interviews with the four firms, I felt that Elaine Kaiser's presentation and my thought process that was the best way to go. And I see it as a pay me now as a pay me later type of situation. Because you look at the internal engineering that has to go into this project, and it has to dovetail with the proposed size of the rooms, where the current mechanical stuff is sitting. This building's all chopped up. And if we're going to utilize the same footprint, and obviously, you know, in listening to the other firms, and particularly NDG, you have just for an example, there's over 500 hours difference between environmental architects and Lane Kaiser architects. And it, not to repeat myself, I mean, even if you go in with this $25,000 bid from environmental architect, I just don't see any way possible in my mind that the internal engineering that it would take to put this project together can be done. We're going to have to pay the bill somewhere down the line anyways, as far as this engineering. And it just doesn't seem feasible to me. So my choice is the Elaine Kaiser engineering group. And my suggestion would be is to bring these, if we consider these the two top firms, and to bring them back for further discussion. There's another point, too, is part of the environmental architect's proposal was a five-day intensive charrette. And that's what we did, basically, with the pavilion and the park area. But to complete a project in 45 days, it's going to leave out a lot of people that, and a lot of seniors that are gone for the winter. This is their permanent residence. I think we'd be missing maybe a good proportion of our population. Also, we have summer residents here too, with second homes. And I don't think we need to be in a rush to complete the process. And it's, so my suggestion is we bring the two firms back for an intensive session with the board and with the staff. I know we can have a problem with too many cooks in the kitchen sometimes if we have too many people involved in this process, but there's such a diversity in the costing here. What we're getting for this costing, is it in the 278 hours going to give all the internal engineering that's needed to, you know, to put this package together? And based on my experience of remodeling buildings, which never been of this size or proportion, but being a businessman, there's something missing in the environmental architect's proposal. And I see it as, not to coin the phrase, but that's how I think of it, as internal engineering. And it does take time. So that's where I am with it. The other part is, too, is I'd like to see our staff come back to us with a proposal, what one mill proposal, how much money would it generate with a 30-year bond and a 40-year bond? So that when we finally get a proposal together that we can all agree on, then it's we have an idea of, you know, how we can fit this into our budget long term. And again, I'll repeat, I think it should be done, both projects should be combined as far as the financing of it. We may have $1 million in the bank, but I see that as a reserve, as a, you know, I say we've accrued that, you know, for the purpose of, you know, rebuilding this facility and remodeling it. But it's that should be, I think, remain as a contingency fund. And there may be something come up during a project that's already being financed that we might be eligible for grants. It might take $500,000 to match it. We don't know. But it's I think it should be financed in one time. So anyways, my recommendation is the Elaine Kaiser Group. Mike?
Well, the difficult thing out of this whole process is, at the end of the day, we can always select one firm. And we have seven people that qualify, so that means there's six firms that we have to say no to at some point. That's a difficult thing, because a lot of these firms were qualified. I gave you the staff's recommendation for the number one choice. Right. I think you probably, before you make your decision, you should hear a little bit more in depth on that. I usually don't tell you who number two or three or four is or anything of that nature, but I will at this point. Just to let you know where your department heads were coming in. And this is the second round of tallies that we did after the interview process, different than the sheet that you had originally. The number one choice was Environmental Architects, as I reported earlier. And these scores they ended up with a total score of 10, and that number in itself isn't all that important other than when I tell you the rest of it. They were the only firm that only received first or second choice votes from all the department heads. We were talking all eight department heads other than Dan Neves. They received six first place votes, two second place votes, no third nor fourth. The second choice, with a score of 22, and the lower the score, the better, was THA Architects out of Flint. They were the second choice. They had one first place vote, two second place votes, three third place votes, and two fourth place votes. Third choice with Elaine Kaiser Architects with a score of 23. She received one first place vote, two second place votes, two third, and two fourth. Coming up at the four of the fourth was NDG with a score of 24. They received no first place votes, three second place, two third, and three fourth. The main point on that is there's two. Environmental Architects was the only one that got only first or second place votes. And they were just looking at the scoring rank. They were the only one that really separated themselves from the rest of the crowd. The other three, 22, 23, and 24 points between them. So I just want you to know what the recommendation of the board is, of your department heads was. Everybody had their chance to comment with regards to the various issues that they saw were important. There were some good points that were raised here, too. Bringing people in for a second interview to make sure was one of the options that we provided as well for the commission to look at. The staff was pretty comfortable with this recommendation on Environmental Architects.
We have additional questions for Mike?
I have some additional points when I may be allowed, sir.
In regards to what Mike has just shared with us, do we have questions on that?
Well, I guess that...
We'll go to additional points if you
wish. Oh, sure.
If you wish.
As far as the input, we don't know what the criteria the staff used. Obviously, in their mind, very valid, and it very well could be valid. I know this isn't a bad thing, but when human nature comes into play, we'll pick things that we feel are best for us. And which is why when I completed the entire interview process, I had to separate from what my initial thought was, what I felt was the best, to based on the evidence. The chief can understand this. You have to follow the evidence. And in my mind, the evidence clearly added up. And that's not to say that I don't take the staff member's opinion into account. I do. But we have to look at the overall position that, that we're bringing forth and spending taxpayer money on. And if I have the opportunity, I'm going to jump into some comments. Elaine apparently did a little bit better research on the, because I missed that, on the total dollar amount on EA's proposal, where there were some dollars that were missed for the total. And that lends me to have a little pause. Is it a mistake? Can anybody make a mistake? Sure. But is it a little one now, a little one later, a bigger one later? I'll kind of piggyback on what the mayor said. It's the early on, and we had talked about the, Commissioner Sansman had talked about the public process, environmental architects, and they're very outgoing and enthusiastic, and those are all good traits. If I have a surgeon working on me, I don't want a cheerleader. I want somebody that's going to do the best job for me, okay? And she had clearly indicated in her proposal that the times to meet with the public, she gave her in her RFP response the where she felt was the best to bring the best choices to the public to garner input based on the facts as they are. Nobody knows all the facts yet, and that is the condition of the building, what can be reused, you know, all the ancillary studies. So, you know, I'm going back to, she's going to provide the same thing as far as public input. The public will not be left out if she is chosen and her firm is chosen. Also, for those that weren't into attendance at the interview process, Elaine had indicated that she served 12 years as a planning commissioner. Okay? So, there was someone that was involved in the public process and dealing with the public. And she understands. But would I be correct in saying you understand the value of the taxpayer dollar and the accountability? And I'm sure you were involved in some projects that, that you had to decide whether to move forward or present to your board. And I think those are, that's again another little factor that, that her firm brings in this project. Commissioner Needham had indicated that EA is familiar with the city and the city property and the city staff. Well, that's understandable. They had presented and met with everybody on the pavilion project. Obviously, any of the other firms, including Elaine Kaiser Associates, their architects, haven't had that opportunity yet. So, while it's a correct statement, I don't know if that in and of itself says, well, that nobody else understands them. As far as Larry Fox and C2AE, yes, Larry has done, on our street projects, they appear to have been done correctly, at least with my involvement. So it's nothing against Larry Fox and his firm, but does Larry being involved, he, you know, sway the difference? He had presented with one of the other vendors, NDG, who he had partnered with. Not NDG. Environmental Architects. He presented a project from the Alpena Combat Readiness Center where they did a fire hall for the airfield, combination airfield fire response and the facility fire response. It was an impressive project. At that time, he had worked with, I believe, SIDOC Architects on that project. So, yes, Larry's been involved in those type of things as well. Elaine had mentioned in her presentation about the input of your summer residents, your summer taxpayers. The mayor had pointed that out. So, again, she was indicating the importance of gathering that information. They do have a stake in their city facilities and their services that we provide. You know, and Elaine had also mentioned the goal when designing these projects is to give the best value for the taxpayers' money. Our job is to save money through design, staffing, resource allocation of resources within our facilities, and making sure that that our citizens and our visitors receive the best response. You know, as far as the budget, we had presented in the required to have in the RFP an all-at-once program and a phased approach, and everybody responded to that. And it was important to me because I needed to make sure that if we didn't go to a millage or a bond, that if we had to pay as we went, what's the best way to do that moving forward? You know, if that was first phase is making room by doing something with DPW, bringing our ambulance here, you know, phase two, the fire and ambulance responsibility. And that's just an example. We've had many discussions on how that phase could break down. And I'm not going to say that is the absolute phase because, again, the experts haven't gathered all the data. You know, the... I don't know the city staff, when they gave their input, you know, some were involved in the interview process, some weren't, and I don't know, the ones that were involved, you know, maybe they had obviously more information than those that weren't. I know the fire chief was unable to attend, he was out taking care of the streets for us that day, and I appreciate that. And I'll say to him and to the John and the ambulance and Andy and the DPW and Chief Gaither for the fire department. You know, if we didn't go with environmental architects and Lane Kaiser is ultimately chosen, at the end of the day, I'm confident that each and every one of you will have a facility that's efficient, practical, and meets your needs and the needs of the citizens that we serve. It's something that we can be proud of at the end of the day. Opulence? No. Efficient? Inappropriate? Absolutely. So.
And, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Tom, go ahead.
And your last statement, you just said that you feel confident that the department would have an efficient, well-designed, cost-effective building can be said also for architectural environment, or architectural environmental architect. Where it could probably be said for all seven applicants. They all have a very rich history and resume and success rate. And I'm as equally confident in the number one choice as you are with your number one choice. And for practically the same reasons. I'm also confident that Kaiser is also equally to do a great job. But when you said, made the statement, follow the evidence, and the evidence is what Mike presented, that that's pretty overwhelming evidence when you said that environmental architects, out of eight department heads, six were number one. I mean, I'm going to follow, you know, if Chief and Chief and if these guys and Andy, if they know, if they voted number one, they did so for a reason. When you say follow the evidence, I will. I'm going to trust my department staff and with their recommendation. And it's not that it's that I'm disagreeing with your comments about Elaine Kaiser architecture. I don't disagree, but I will follow the evidence. I will follow the advice of my department heads and the staff. And I know that we will have, from environmental architect, an efficient and cost-effective process and building design, and you know, the whole process of whether Ron said it best, you know, pay me now or pay me later, and can environmental architect do this pretty fast? I think they can. Not that I'm anywhere near qualified, but I taught architecture for 30 years as a high school teacher, and You can work fast. You can work in concepts. You can work in that realm. Just as easily as you can work in details. Mm-hmm. And you know, every square inch. They both work. Both systems work. There's not a right or a wrong, but I will support my staff.
Thank you, John.
Can I ask Warren? One follow-up question?
Sure.
There was one comment by one of the firms, and I'm not for sure exactly which one said that, but this cost and amount was separate. It was, in addition, there were expenses on top, like travel expenses and whatnot. So is that true for all the firms? I mean, is this cost amount that they're reflecting just their fee plus expenses?
No, this is a not-to-exceed cost.
Okay.
Now, I think THA talked about the cost of the hospital addition.
Right.
I'm trying to remember which one spoke of that.
But one of them did.
They wanted to combine the trips to make sure that they...
Right,
and
right.
I'm sure everybody's going to want to make sure they use their time efficiently.
Okay, so these costs do include the travel expenses then?
Correct.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to be clear. Thanks.
Yes,
you did. Mm-hmm.
That was really the may speak.
The mayor pro tem is Gene.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or should we wait so he can hear your
comments? Yeah, let's wait.
Or we can wait.
Okay.
We can take the minute.
That's fine. I'd rather
hear your
comments.
Yeah.
On behalf of Blaine City 21, Petoskey 20.
I hear that from the listener.
That was a point. At least Michigan State had over Michigan at the half, too.
Well, they're up by 11.
Not at the half.
No, at one point, though. Early on.
We're not
going to
talk
about
that.
We're not
going
to talk about
that. It is what it is, man. I deal with it.
Excuse me for leaving the room for a moment. Ever since I had this prostate cancer condition, I've had some issues.
You would get something else you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead, Derek.
I lost my point. I got so excited about potentially meeting Petoskey.
We were talking about travel expenses.
I go back to the amount of hours and the detail. Oh, I know what it was. And the detail. I do it. That is true. What I would like to know is how many of the city staff worked with and met with Mr. Kendo of Environmental Architects. Even through the charrette process, I believe there was an input.
I think everybody did. Okay. Kendo, because it would speak up if you didn't.
I didn't through the charrette process, but we just talked about the contracts and that type of.
You did meet with them, though.
But
right?
I did meet with them, yeah.
And I'm going to use that to kind of follow up with Commissioner Needhammer's point that, you know, they're comfortable with Environmental Architects. Well, I guess using that logic, then any of the other firms, including Elaine Kaiser, we could say the same thing. Had they been given the same amount of time involved in another project on that, I don't really know if that's a fair comparison and a fair...
I don't know if that's fair to say.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, obviously their familiarity and leads to comfortableness at a certain level, and who's to say that that would not have been the same viewpoint transferred had Elaine's firm been involved in that, any other project, whether it's a pavilion or anything else. There was a point of reference. So I don't know if we can necessarily utilize that, you know, as a differentiating factor. You know, obviously that may have played, I can't speak for anyone. I'm sure it played a role in their ranking decision. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, another point I would like to make, too, is, you know, when I look at the 278 hours to complete a project like this, is the, I could conceivably, you know, see where you could possibly do the internal engineering if you were starting with a flat piece of property and this place was dozed.
Right.
But the way this building is built, added on to, and failing in many places, I just in my own mind cannot see it being done again, with that kind of a timeline, that many hours, what we're paying for it. So I go back to the internal engineering aspect of it. The other thing is too, it's, and I don't mean to, overstate anything, but I spent 30 years in business and remodeled 3 different buildings. I also served on a bank board, an old Northwestern bank board for many years. And I went through a process like this, RFPs, for when we built new banks in Bel Air and Petoskey and Charlevoix, remodeled the bank here, stuff like that. And it wasn't rushed through in a process this quick. I mean, and we didn't always settle on the, the first proposal that we had, even though at first it seemed, but when you care, compare one against the other, what you're getting. And I really believe the pay me now or pay me later situation is what's here. It is not about, the big difference in price. It's what you're getting for. And again, I said that my vision as far as how I saw things working, but I really believe that we need to invite these two firms back, the Kaiser firm and the environmental architect firm, and ask some hard questions. And that's kind of the process I went through, being on a bank board. This is a big undertaking, and I think to make a decision tonight that we go with environmental architects tonight, we might be doing ourselves a disservice without further discernment and careful analysis what we're getting for those hours. So, anyways, that's my recommendation.
Mr. Mayor, why Elaine Kaiser is the number 2?
Okay, I'll go into that.
Because?
Now, the firm that comes out of Flint, Michigan, their proposal was excellent. I've learned a lot of things from their proposal. But you've got a 3-hour drive up by M-75 today. There's a difference of somebody that's local and can make a decision on the spot. You get in the middle of a project. I take like the senior center with NDG. Amanda was here, one of the presenters with NDG. And our project engineer, foreman, pointed out that, hey, this isn't right. And then the cement contractor is sitting there arguing whether this is supposed to be a 12-inch pad or a 10-inch pad underneath the kitchen area. And called with Amanda, and she was there in about 35 minutes, and the cement truck's coming from, they have to tear out the rebar and do it right. Mm-hmm. They couldn't wait 3 hours for somebody to come up by 75, support a wall, or some major thing comes up. I mean, it just, that's why. I mean, whether they were second or not, it didn't do it. I eliminated them because of the attention to detail. In my own thinking, in my own experience, in construction.
But construction firms have ways to deal with that. But I respect that opinion. I kind of agree with you. I mean, I'd rather spend the money with a Northern Michigan firm than a Flint firm. So I'm basing it more on that than the distance, because the distance with modern telecommunications, but
scrape it, but
yeah.
Still.
But I understand.
And sometimes people just have to, be firm and say, do it right, you know, and change it, even if it costs money. Do it right. And that's attention to detail.
So, Ron,
I've said my piece anyway.
Are you suggesting that we have both firms back?
Yeah.
And that we do it as a work session?
I do.
Okay.
That's my suggestion. Unless somebody's got a better idea that we can agree on.
Well, you would throw that in there.
No, I'm serious. I mean,
I am absolutely serious as well.
I can only speak from experience. I mean, it's just, I think it's rushing the process without understanding the difference.
And I'm ready to make a motion, but with all due respect to your opinion, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure if I'm ready to make the motion. But I don't think that another second interviews would hurt us. On the other hand, I'm pretty confident in the number one choice by maybe the majority of us, and definitely the majority of the department heads. It was a pretty decisive number one choice for environmental architect. So based on that, if you entertain a motion, I will.
Just be right with you.
Yes,
just
sir.
A moment. I think we could be under the wow influence that environmental architects delivered when they delivered this pavilion project to us. I mean, I was just absolutely blown away and impressed with how somebody could put a project together like that and drawings like that and 3D drawings and conceptual drawings and options and price it, you know, in a 3-day charrette, whatever we did it in. I was part of the process, and it was really fast track. And I really think for the scope of that project, that conceptual type of doing things, fast tracking, it is really has merit. But this is a totally different animal, this building.
So you don't feel that they could do a similar type thing in the amount of time? I guess...
Well, I think that time-wise they could do it, but...
I think you just endorsed them.
Yeah, I think you sort of
no,
did.
But I think we're under the influence of the wow effect of what they did there, but they don't have, they're not dealing with the same issues over here with the pavilion of what they're doing with this building.
If I may, and this is not in any way any offense to you, Elaine. I really took a lot of what you had to say to heart, and I really thought that your process was incredible. I've thought about this every day since the whole thing, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I myself was a design major, and I watched a lot of art students over 5 years create. And everyone has a different pace and a different way of approach. Not to say anyone is better than the other. I mean, the amount of projects that they turned out and the magnificent pieces of work that they accomplished were incredible. Some could do it in a flash, and some would take weeks to accomplish a similar quality thing. So it's not to say that one is better than the other. It's just everyone has a different way of working. I think when I saw what environmental architects did was, and again, no offense, totally blew me away. Like I said, it almost scared me that it was so fast. I thought, wow, they can't do that in 3 days. There's no way. I mean, and that was my initial thought. And then when I saw it, I thought, wow, how did they do that so quickly? And I think this sometimes people just have a different process. And again, not to say, I like a lot of what you said. I hope that whoever we choose does pay attention to detail. Details are important. So I don't mean to speak directly to you, but you're in the audience, so. That's just my assessment.
Derek, you have something to add?
I can something too.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
That was what I was trying to say.
I know, that's what you were trying to say too.
And the proposal guarantees we're getting details. That's what we've been on. Okay. Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
I just want to let, if it helps the commission at all, of the four firms that came up for interviews, three of them did come and actually do walkthroughs of the sites. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went through the buildings, this building. I know the DPW and fire, and I think most of them went through the EMS facility as well, too. The only firm that did not do that was THA. Mm-hmm. You may recall during their comments they said that they had, that was the first time they had been here. Mm-hmm. So I think all of them have seen the building and know, hopefully they better know what they're getting into. We made all this, the previous study and all that other information available to them. So we weren't trying to hide anything from anybody. I think most of them took advantage of it.
I do have one other follow-up question. Let's say we go with environmental architects, and they come up with a design that totally nobody in the public likes. Where does that leave everything? I mean, just as an example, let's just say that would happen. Not that it will, but...
Well, that could happen with any firm.
Yeah. That can happen with any firm, but what does that do? Does that force them to go back to the drawing board, whichever firm is
chosen? I guess it all depends on what the commission is dissatisfied with. If they're dissatisfied with their end product, that could be one thing. If they're dissatisfied with the process, you might say, well, okay, maybe we want to cut our losses and move on to something else.
Right.
Again, that could happen with any firm. I guess you'd have to look at where we... It's hard for me to tell you what to do or what we would do at that time because I don't know the specifics of it.
Right. It's just hypothetical.
You can dismiss them. You can dismiss a firm at any time.
Okay.
If we're not happy with the direction.
Okay.
Certainly, the way this process was anticipated, we're going to be going down a track. So it shouldn't be they start here and we get to, the end and are completely surprised by it. They should be getting feedback from the staff, the commission, the public,
all the way along. Yeah.
Through this process as we go through it. So hopefully we'll avoid that. But like you and Tom both said, that's a possibility for any firm you hire.
Yeah.
But there's built-in checks and balances.
There's steps along the way that hopefully we can, if things are starting to feel bad, we can catch it before we get to the end.
Right. Okay. I was just curious about how that, okay.
Okay. Any further comment?
Yeah, just follow up. For those staff members that were not involved in the interview process, did they get a chance to meet with Elaine and talk to her on the walkthrough at all and get any feedback?
No.
Okay.
All right. Again, I want to make sure that the commission knows that every department head was invited to be part of the process.
Right.
They had various conflicts and things like that.
Sure.
And I was real careful as we went through the second interview is to make sure that those of us that were through the interview process had an opportunity to share, they had an opportunity to ask questions, and get as informed a decision making as they went through the second phase, even though that they weren't there. But everybody had the opportunity to participate, and everybody did in that way.
We're going to follow up, and again, this question will be posed to a rep from Environmental Architects if they're here. But the individual that I mentioned that wasn't, unfortunately, able to attend the interview process, the fire chief, Dennis, what are the top things that you want to see and what was important to you in this design process that represents your staff? And our equipment that serves our citizens.
Well, all the other projects that are related to what we're doing now with Lumberjoy, fire halls and municipalities and so forth.
Right.
Presentation and how they presented it to us, like with ones that we went through and looked at it. And I did use the timeline and the hours on that. And one of the things to me is we've been waiting for 10, 15 years for this thing to get done. You know, and here it is dragging out and dragging out and dragging out again. I'd still like to be around in that firehouse.
I concur with you on that. I guess I was looking for, you know, is there any specifics that you may have concern that Elaine's firm can't deliver on?
No, I felt that all the top four firms there, that any four of those firms would probably all do us a good job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I felt Elaine's firm would be just as good as any of the others. I thought they all were good,
sure.
And they all had good points to them. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
I make motion for consideration to award the contract to the City Facilities Architectural Services Project to Environmental Architects of Traverse City in the amount of $25,860.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Grunch?
No.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Sansom?
Yes.
Town?
Yes.
Gaylord?
No.
Motion carried.
Okay. Hope we made the right choice.
Well,
and so do I.
We're all together. This whole process is about defending the decision, too. So, I mean, it's. I feel that they're certainly a competent firm, but I'm. I said what I needed to say, so we'll move on.
Oh boy.
Okay, our next item of business, Charlevoix County Community Foundation Farmers Market Grant Application. Consideration to approve a grant application to Charlevoix County Community Foundation for $1,000 to support a summer music series at the Boyne City Farmers Market. And the paperwork for the rest of the packet. I believe that was you. Were you covering the summary on that, Bill?
Sure. Change the topic here for a minute. The Farmers Market is looking at this music series. It's another draw for the Farmers Market. The Charlevoix County Community Foundation has a special arts and music fund, and they had been asked if this would be a grant-worthy application, and we were told it would be. So the Community Foundation requests that these requests come to the City of Boyne City, so that's why it's coming to you now. The grant is due on Monday, and March 1st, rather, and I hope you support this.
Thank you, Hugh. Is Becky still here? Did you have any comments on that, Becky?
It's planned for every Saturday, June through August. Making those arrangements now. We have part of the other cost of the whole program has been worked into our budget. We do need the money to make it happen. We're going to pay the performers each week. Minimum amount, but they
would
be paid to be there.
Good. Thank you. Additional staff
count.
Oh, Mike?
Yeah, just to be clear, this grant request and $1,600 total for the project will be coming out of hopefully the grant funds to the City Commission approve applying for it and we receive the grant. The rest of it will be funds generated by the farmers market. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any citizens' comments? Questions? Commissioners, Tom?
I'm in full support.
Jane?
I believe this would attract a lot more people. I think that's a great idea. I support your recommendation.
Derek?
The only question I have is, other than the grant, have any of the vendors discussed funding for this project since it will ultimately benefit them?
Well, we'll be paying with it from vendor fees and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're contributing to it then?
Well, they contribute to the overall general fund, and then we make decisions on how we spend that money. I mean, we're not specifically saying we're going to charge you $10 extra for your vendor fee, although we are overall charging $10 more per vendor.
Okay. All right.
It all comes out of the general fund of the farmer's market.
Okay.
Yeah. I think a better way to say that is farmer's market fund.
Yeah.
It's not the city's general
fund. Yeah, right.
We have
Farmer's Market General Fund.
Well, we have a fund.
Right.
We have a budget. We have, you know, we pay very close attention to that.
Mm-hmm. The funds are segregated.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a great addition to the Farmer's Market. I'm looking forward to it, and I congratulate you on doing that because I think it will draw a lot more people and just make it more festive. So.
Yeah. We also support the recommendation, so... Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Okay, call for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration to approve a grant application to the Chalbert County Community Foundation for $1,000 to support a summer music series at the Boyne City Farmers Market.
A second.
Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gator?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is the Boyne Thunder Resolution of Support. Consideration to support and endorse the 2014 Boyne Thunder event for July 9th through 13th, 2014. Support the application to the Liquor Control Commission for a special license for the sale of beer, wine, and spirits on the premises. Authorize city staff to work with Boyne Thunder Committee on needs and issues that may arise as the event plans move forward. And Mike or Hugh are going to do the summary on this.
Either one of us could. This is the same resolution that you see every year. Nothing's changed with regards to it other than the dates and what you approved in the past. We've had excellent excellent support and no problems of any significance with regards to this. And I hate to say after 10 or 11 years, it's almost business as usual, but they've got it down pretty pat. So it's nothing you've seen, haven't seen before.
Okay. Any additional comment from staff or department heads? Okay, commissioners, start with Gene.
Yeah, Boyne Thunder agrees a lot of money for a great cause. I fully support the recommendation.
Okay, Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. I support the obviously the Boyne Thunder project continues to grow and grow and grow. And unlike my documented concern of the alcohol in the streets with the other project, this location and its oversight has addressed my concerns, so I have, again, had no issues with the recommendation.
Okay. Laura?
Yeah, I guess my comment would be, yes, I'm in full support, but my only comment and question would be, I like the idea that you might extend those dates a little bit, maybe add in a special event, so I'd be in favor of expanding those dates, that time frame. From the 9th through the 13th, so make that clear.
Tom?
I'm in full support. Great project.
Okay. I just had one question, if there was any new events added to the overall program that we've had in the past, whether there's any liability involved with it.
Well, there are a couple new events. Last year there was an event at Boyne Mountain. There was an evening, Thursday evening at Boyne Mountain that the boaters organized. That's going to happen again this year. And then there's another boater that's taking some initiative and will be hosting a luncheon at Bay Harbor for the participants. You know, that'll be a separate thing from what we do. But I mean, the boaters have created some things. There haven't been any extra events that have been created, but if anybody's got an idea, people willing to do it, the infrastructure's there to do something on Sunday or whatever. But the committee organizing Boyne Thunder that, you know, just can't do anymore.
Okay. Thank you. I support the project also and ask for a motion from the commission.
I'll move the City Commission support and endorse the 2014 Boeing Thunder event to be held July 9th through 13th, 2014, and support the application to the Liquor Control Commission for a special license for the sale of beer, wine, and spirits on the premises, and authorize city staff to work with the Boeing Thunder Committee on needs and issues that may arise as the events plan moves forward.
Second.
Roll call.
Sanson?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is the Irish Heritage Week. Consideration to officially declare the week of March 9th through 16th, 2014 to be Boyne City Irish Heritage Week. I don't see Lynn here tonight, but Mike, were you going to handle the summary on this?
Hugh actually wrote it up.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been doing this for the last 3 or 4 years. We started this Irish festival, I think it was 5 years ago. We started with a dinner, it might be longer than that.
7 years, it says on here, yeah. Time flies.
Yeah,
all
blends together. The highlight of it was a dinner at the Eagles. We had an Irish festival dinner for 3 years or so, dancers and a meal, that type of thing. And it was a risky venture for us to fund this dinner, sell tickets, and all that sort of thing. So we kind of, a few years ago, with the leadership of Lynn Williams, spread it out over a period of time. And now what we're doing is kind of just gathering all the activities that are going on in the community that week under the umbrella of the Irish Festival. So for the week, there's going to be a talk. Well, there's a Celtic music session with Gail Jerry at the library, an Irish history talk with Dr. George Colburn at the library. There's the business after hours at Linda's Real Estate. There's a Taste of Spring at the Farmer's Market. There's an Irish story time that the library will be doing, an Irish high tea, and just a variety of things that are all coming under the umbrella. And it's really our hope to keep this alive, because I really think that if we can get the Sister Cities project off the ground and we get the Dilworth open and we have a place to really celebrate our cultural heritage, that we're going to have a really great event. And, but as it's shaping up now, you know, there's a lot for the community to do and a lot to enjoy during this week. So,
thank you, Hugh. Do we have any further comment from staff or department heads? Citizens' comments? Commissioners? Tom, would you like to start?
No, this sounds just one more thing that we do well in Boyne City. It's another event. It's volunteers making good things happen. I'm in full support.
Jane?
I echo Tom's sentiment. I fully support it.
Derek?
I concur that we continue to develop this festival.
Laura?
Yeah, I'm in favor. I have no problem with it at all.
Okay. We'll officially support it by making a motion. And the motion will read, the City Commission officially declare the week of March 9th through 16th, 2014, to be Boyne City Irish Heritage Week. To be so noted and reflected in the minutes of this meeting and other means deemed appropriate to the purpose of the theme.
Second.
Roll call.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sanson?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I hope everybody will proudly wear green that
week. Kill me, Mike.
Couldn't resist, I'm sorry.
I don't have any Irish in me either, but I'll wear green.
There's another reference there. I didn't mean to make it blue.
Duality
of meaning.
Green. Okay.
Wouldn't be green
and white.
Our next item of business today is the goal setting summarized information. And Barb, we'll turn this over to you.
At your joint boards and commission meeting, I provided a pretty thick packet of all the information from the survey that was available online for residents and people to participate in, and also from the meeting that we had on January 9th.
I was asked to separate some of that information out to make it a little easier to digest, as far as input from city residents themselves, from residents from surrounding townships, and also from those people who participated in the online survey that are not necessarily living in this area. So I did all of that. I did post all of that information online. I didn't do a lot of printed copies because there was so much it would have taken a couple reams of paper to print that out for everyone. But there is a hard copy up front for anybody to come in and look at it anytime of all of the information together. So basically it's just there for your review at some point. After you digest it a little more, you'll want to have further conversations. While you're looking through it, if there's any more information that you need me to try to provide that's not in there, or questions I can answer, please feel free to call or email me, and I'll get you all that as soon as I can.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
Do we have any comments from department heads or staff?
We just want to make sure that the city commission has a chance to review this before we bring it back for formal adoption of the goals. And as you're looking through it, if you have any comments or questions or anything that we can help highlight or help you digest all that information, please let us know.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Commission discussion. Laura?
I don't have anything at this moment. I need to review it a little more carefully.
I'd just like to thank Barb and everyone else that participated and organized it, and the different avenues that we collected our data. I appreciate their efforts on it. And, I did look at it, but I'll be honest, I spent most of my time on the city facilities.
Yeah.
That's where my energy went. So I definitely am not prepared to, you know, comment in full on this at this time. So, but thank you for the effort.
I too would like to thank Barb. I did look at it and I compared it with 2012, very similar. The only comment I would have would be that we revisit it a little more often, see how we're doing.
Thank you, Jane. Tom?
So, to clarify, will we go through these again and say, okay, last year we took like 15 goals and whittled them down to 10 or something like that?
Yes, at the end of the day, hopefully we'll end up with something similar to the list that you ended up with last year. So you find us where to focus our energies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And my last comment is, I was flabbergasted that 45 people came to the meeting, 380 people accessed the survey, 174 completed the survey online, and you distributed to the Chamber, Senior Citizen, or Senior Center, Luxemburger, Library, City Hall, and only three people filled out a paper application. Mm-hmm. So I think it behooves us to recognize that the gathering of information has definitely changed, and when we gather our information, we need to be aware of that.
Yeah, the only unfortunate part is when you gather that information online, they're not part of the discussion. So we didn't hear the city manager's report that he gave at the January 9th meeting discussing some of the items. If you notice, if you read some of the comments that people wrote after they ranked whether it was a priority, not a priority, a lot of them were questions more so than comments or action, that they didn't understand it, or you can tell by their comment that their thought process was totally different than where people were going at the meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you, Barb. Again, my thanks to you and our staff, the team, and everybody that's participated in it. And thank you for the update.
Here?
Yes.
Just a quick follow-up on what Barb said there. Perhaps we need to look at using that information that you learned on people that had more questions, and when we pose the questions on the online version, include some of the highlighted comments or the main points so they have some reference versus just a blanket question. Because you're right, a question can have multiple answers or directions on how to answer that. So maybe we can take what you just learned there and apply that forward. Not eliminate the, obviously, the digital part, but give them more feedback and little history on something. And yes, I understand that it would create a little more work, But the better data that they have available to make that input, they can say, oh, I don't agree with that at all, and here's why, or yes, you know, based on that.
Yeah, I tried to pose the information as close as sure. I could to the way it was presented at
right.
the meeting. There's only so much room in the survey itself, and all of the additional information and all the results from the survey
right.
was online. You know, you can't make people go there to look at it and review it,
that's
but it
correct.
Was there.
Yeah, but
they want the quick and easy. They, sure. you know, boom, 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 mm-hmm. they want to answer the questions, they want to participate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They may not have wanted to do all the homework. That
maybe we need a, whatever mechanism on that survey that we say we want more spaces for information input before the answer period. Mm-hmm. So they don't run out of room. Okay, thank you, Mayor.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to the next item of business, mayor exchange dates. And we have a letter in front of us. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I did look at the emails that we've received online. And I'm pretty flexible myself as far as the dates.
They would still like to come to Boyne City on July 14th. Is they haven't, that's kind of in Charlie's email, I think I forwarded it to you before. And we've had discussions with them since the last couple times, you know, looking to see if they, you know, look at other days of the week and things of that nature, and they seem to be
mm-hmm.
pretty sure on coming on a Monday, mm-hmm. doing the, wanting to do the exchange on a Monday. The 14th is their preferred day. We talked about that. That's coming right after Boyne Thunder, but we think we can handle it. It might be a little bit rough, but we think we can handle it. How we clean up the town. The other mm-hmm. questions came up with regards to when we wanted to go there. And the first page, again, Charlie gives a couple recommendations with regards to the, you know, if we wanted to tie in with one of their events,
mm-hmm.
The Bavarian Festival, and he's suggesting that we come at the end of it, on the 15th, on that Sunday, and then stay over for the 16th, which happens to be my wife's birthday, it's going to get me mm-hmm. in trouble, but be that as
perfect.
It may.
Take her with you.
There's a hesitation.
I don't know. I think I'll lose out to my daughters on that one. As much as she probably wants to spend the time with all of us, I think
yeah.
she'll enjoy our daughter's home. Anyway, then the other weekend that they suggested was the weekend of the July 26th, and doing something on Friday the 25th. That's when they have their antique fire department muster. I talked to Dennis a little bit about that. I don't know if he's a chance
mm-hmm.
to talk about
mm-hmm.
you know, if their department has any interest in participating, but not necessarily that that has to be a reason for us to go, but I thought it would be kind of a nice synergy if mm-hmm. our people were there and we were there at the same time, we could support them or whatever, but I don't want to make it overly complicated either.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also has a couple other dates, and those tied into, and I think most of this information mm-hmm. you saw before, the second page is that list that Andy put together for us, and I think I emailed that to you of other festivals and dates that they had.
Right.
And everything else beyond that, the last few pages are came to the City Commission back in our second meeting in January.
Mm-hmm.
So my memo on that, and then the calendars that we had that you'd seen at that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
I do sense that they are getting a little antsy with regards to setting dates. Well, you know. They're very precise. So anyway, so if there is an, if the commission is comfortable in setting dates, I'm sure they would appreciate it. And
do we all plan on making this a 2-day event? Or well, I don't know. I know, you know, last year we went. Some of us went one day and some went overnight.
Yeah. Well, they're more accustomed, well, they do have an overnight built into it for them, but they're looking to do the exchange pretty much on that Monday when they come up here.
No, I mean here. I mean for us to go there.
Yeah, I mean we could do it either way. And if we're going to partake, you know, like if we're going to do the fire muster or some
right.
of these other, if you
just
really
go on Friday the
25th,
if
which happened on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
for us to meet with their staffs and all that type of stuff, you have to tie in weekday somewhere on there
right.
as well.
Mm-hmm. So the exchange would be Friday the 25th, and you could stay over for the fire muster, the antique fire muster, the next day if you wanted
to. If you wanted to,
and if
correct.
You didn't want to, you wouldn't have to.
Correct.
I assume, yeah. Okay. That was just a question.
Okay.
Not saying I wouldn't, I just...
Yeah, I mean, that gives us the option.
Right.
I mean, I kind of get the impression from them that they're used to one-day exchanges, doing it in one day. So, once we pick a date, I'll flesh out to them what, if anything, they want to do with this. And then, you know, if it is Sunday and Monday, and Monday's the exchange date, what, if any, activities they want to do on Sunday? Can we do an evening meal with them or a reception or something like that that doesn't interfere with what they want to do, but kind of, you know, gives us the time? Because my impression is they want to be, if they did it on a Monday, they're not sticking around for a late dinner or something like that. They want to be on their way home.
Right.
I'm okay with them coming on the 14th, but that's tough on you, not on us.
I'm okay with the 14th, too.
As long as you think you can pull it off.
Yeah.
You will.
I think
you think you can?
I mean, again, there are guests. That's the date that they want to come. I think we try and make it work if we can.
Okay. All right.
Did they give any dates in August that they liked? I'm just thinking about their own event that I have in August, which is going to be on a Sunday and Monday.
No, they did not.
Okay.
Their first choice was July 14th, second was June 23rd, the third was July 21st, and their fourth was June 2nd. An August day wasn't specifically talked about one way or the other. They just gave us their first, their top four choices.
On July 14th. I know you don't have any time scheduled, but I have a real, real early appointment that morning. But that's, you know, it's like 8:30 in the morning.
How long do you think that'll keep you, Gene?
Well, it's a doctor's appointment.
Okay, so we'll see you at 6 that evening?
Yeah, could be. But, I mean, that's okay, you know, I can come when I'm done with it, so. I would be okay. Whatever works out for the rest of them.
I'm okay with anything. So.
And then they want us to come.
They were okay with that. They were responding to our request with regards to when there were events that we might want to piggyback off of. Their initial request that was we come midweek, kind of more of our traditional thing. Remember, they especially they specifically talked about coming on a Thursday so we could go to their Rotary Club with 200 members and show us off, and we could meet with a lot of their town folks and stuff.
So the antique fire muster is July 26th?
Correct, that weekend. And
I think that'd be interesting, you know, they could put our antique on a flatbed and take it down there, or is that possible? That'd be kind of
I mean, that's what our fire department does when they take it to the end of muster up here. I don't know if they call it a muster or the Fireman's Memorial. In Roscommon. I mean, they have a specific trailer that it's mounted on and taken to, and it always wins first prizes. The oldest operable equipment. I'm sure we can show those Frankenmuthers a thing or two if we can.
So the Bavarian Festival, anyone ever attend that?
That's the one, with all the respect to the fire trucks.
You'd rather go that one?
Yeah.
That's probably more of the flavor of their community.
Yeah, that and, you know, we do a lot of great things, but if we can pick up, the way my viewpoint is, if we can pick up one unique factor that's working for them that we can implement, that's what I'd look at on that, going on that Sunday, your last day, so, but... Going down there, my first choice would be the Bavarian Festival Sunday and then Monday.
Which date?
They say go down on a Sunday.
15th and 16th of June.
July?
June 15th.
Oh, June.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go for that.
July.
Two months.
A lot of things going on in July. Family will be here from Colorado and...
They're already coming here on the 1 July, so.
We could still send the fire truck down to the fire department on there.
Sure, win another award.
The chief could drive it.
If we wanted to.
Again, they're
all downhill, then you get home.
Yeah. Again, and I was kind of, you know, I'm very proud of our Earl of France as well as all of those folks. I'm looking forward to its 100th anniversary and, you know, getting squirted by the hose on that as it drives down the parade route or whatever we do with it. Mm-hmm. But again, they're volunteers as well, too. They've got summer obligations as well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to book their time. If that's something they're interested in doing, I would just want to say, hey, that could have been something neat put to get together. Mm-hmm. I don't want to force it on them. The time will be right.
Yeah.
Maybe it isn't now. Maybe it'll be on the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering is later on down the road.
Okay, sounds like Sunday the 15th is got a positive or a consensus anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody agree with that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday the 15th, and then Monday will be our day
16th,
of spending time with them.
Okay.
The official Maris exchange. And,
mm-hmm.
and then when we, when you talk to Charlie, can we place some emphasis on fire, ambulance, and emergency services? I mean, as far as the visitations?
Sure. Yeah.
As far as
if there's anything in particular that anybody wants to see, get me a list or just drop me an email or Cindy or whatever, and we'll, you know, we'll be glad to flush it out.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is we go there on the 15th and 16th, and they come here of June, and they come here on July 13th and 14th.
And would it be possible to have our emergency service directors with us? Fire, police, and
we usually invite all the department heads and see who's available or wants to go. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Sunday and 13th and 14th.
Their activities on the 13th are mainly their own. There might be the reception. We'll flesh that out as we get closer to it. Do you have something on the 13th?
July 13th, yeah. I'll be here at 14.
Okay. That's more critical than 2 days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Put that in my calendar here.
So if everybody's good with that, you can just tell me that's what you've done, which is what you have done, or you can make a motion to make it official. Either way, I'm fine.
Well, it's a work in progress, so I don't think the motion is necessary.
Okay.
We just go for it. This is July 14th for them visiting us and us visiting them. Today is June 16th, Monday the 16th.
I would, at some point, if the commission can let me know which ones might be interested in spending the night on June 15th down in Frankenmuth. My only concern is that make sure that we can get hotel reservations. I don't know how, if that is their key week, or how busy that's going to be, or if things start flush emptying out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that'll be the case, but I just want to make sure that we have some options.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. I'll do it overnight. Room with somebody.
Okay. I can't room with anyone. That's the problem. Well, I could, but I wouldn't be wise.
Well, Cindy might be going.
Oh, yeah. You might go. Okay.
Pretty red on you.
What?
That was awkward.
Yeah.
That's all right. No.
2,000 bikers in town.
We'll leave the chief here.
Okay. We've got that covered. So, you know, we do have item G on the new business for tonight, request to go into closed session, but our attorney can't be here tonight, so are we just going to postpone that for tonight?
Item one, yes. Item two, no. There are two items on the agenda. The first one would involve the city attorney, and he's not available, as I mentioned earlier. Item two, I'm prepared to move forward on.
Okay. So he wasn't part of the process for item two, then?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody is comfortable with that, going through the process?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we do that, we'll take care of good of the order. Does anyone have anything for good of the order?
The only thing I have is keep up the good work on all that snow, because it's really stacked up high. It's hopefully end soon. But I've noticed we're going around cleaning up all the areas in town. And my alley, what a breath of fresh air. They widened it.
Oh, good.
I got all the snow in my backyard, but they widened it.
Your grass will love it.
As long as it doesn't, when everyone else flood everything. Trying to figure out where that's all going to go.
Before it starts snowing again next fall.
But now I can actually back out without hitting the snowbank.
About the same time as our monument down here at the Sunset Park. Okay. Anyone else with good Gary, do you have anything?
No, Mayor, I'm all set. Thank you.
I'm all set. Okay. We'll move on. Request of the city manager to... Well, there's also an announcement. The next city commission meeting will be scheduled for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014 at 7 p.m. And at this time, I have a request of the city manager to go into closed session with regarding item 2 on the agenda. Consider strategy connected with negotiation of collective bargaining agreement as provided in NCL 15268C. Of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Public Act 267, 1976.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
And for the information of the audience, I don't anticipate we'll be taking any action after that, other than adjournment.